Hello again. We're continuing our study of spiritual warfare, and we are in this section as we look at each of the defensive weapons that God has given us to thrive, survive, to experience victory in this battle we have against a very real and powerful enemy. And so we are considering each piece of the armor of God, and I've been using this graphic. So we've talked about, you know, the shield of faith, the boots of peace, the belt of truth. And, you know, today we are going to look at the shield of faith. This is Paul's words from Ephesians chapter 6. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We've looked at all of those. And then he says, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, when we talk about the shield of faith, there are a couple of different possibilities of what Paul was referring to. Some think, you know, have thought this kind of shield. This was the cavalry shield. It's pretty small. But it was used to, you know, as you're riding cavalry or on a horse. Anything bigger than that would become clumsy. Most scholars believe that's not the shield that Paul had in mind, but rather he had this one in mind. In fact, the word that translates as shield has the same root as the word for door in the original Greek in which this New Testament was written. And so the whole idea of a door. Now look at everything this shield of faith, or the shield for the Roman soldier, covered. It covers everything. It covers the legs. It covers the center. It covers the breastplate of righteousness. It covers everything except the top of the head and the eyes. So a soldier behind that shield was well protected. That's what it means, then, to take up the shield of faith, that faith can protect us. Now, just a word to note the change in verb here. The first verb is stand firm. That the belt of truth helps you stand firm with that buckled around your waist. You stand firm with the breastplate of righteousness in place. You stand firm with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. But then it changes and says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. We're going to look at that in the next section. Take it. In other words, there's an action that's different for the first three to now. That there are moments when the Roman soldier is just, you know, in camp, everything's fine. You keep those first three ones on. You stand in those, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the boots that are help you stand firm in life. But in addition to that, now when you're getting ready for battle, you take up the shield of faith. In other words, those first three are things that are with you always in the time of battle or not. You're in camp. You're always wearing those things so that you're always ready. But there are moments when you've got to take up a shield of faith. Now, if you went from outside, if you had that shield in place, you're very well protected. But if you dropped it a little bit, or if you set it aside or held it aside, you all of a sudden became vulnerable to attack. You know, one of the great Old Testament stories is of David and Goliath. And Goliath had a shield like this. Probably was huge for this 9-foot-tall giant. But we're told that he saw David coming. And he, he did not consider that this boy, shepherd boy, was a threat to him. And so he moved aside the shield. And what happened? Here's what scripture says. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it. And he struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. And you remember David then who came, you know, David said, I don't come against you with sword and shield and spear. I come against you in the name of the Almighty God, the one who is the God of the armies of Israel, and he's going to defeat you. And so David ends up going, taking Goliath's own sword, since he didn't have one, and cutting off his head, and a great victory is won. But the point I'm making, if Goliath had stayed behind the shield, if he had had his helmet in place, as we'll see next time, he wouldn't have been vulnerable to attack. But it was in his own pride, in his own belief in his own ability to defeat the shepherd boy, that he ended up dead. Now, what does the shield protect? It protects everything. But there was a particular kind of battle implement that it was designed to save you from. Paul says, with the shield in place, you take it up, you can put out all the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, I've used this picture that's probably a reference to arrows. Now, what armies would do in that time is they would have archers who would dip arrows in pitch and make sure they're covered with pitch, which is a tarry-like substance and very flammable, and they'd light it on fire. And it was a scary time when the arrows were coming in and they're on fire, because they like things on fire, right? And they can destroy a place. You know, one of my favorite stories is in the United States history is the battle at the Alamo, this little mission in San Antonio, Texas. And, you know, when you watch the movie of it, and there's some famous people there, of course. But all of a sudden, the army of Santa Ana, the Mexican general, starts shooting the burning arrows into the mission. And they hit a cart that's full of hay, and it light leaps on fire. And another one hits a building, and that begins to burn, because when it hits, the pitch is thrown a ways. And so it spreads, and fire is spreading all over. And there's nothing you can do to stop that. It's not, you can't even battle it, hardly, right? You can't. You know, if you're standing next to somebody, you can battle them. You can stop their attack, but you can't stop a flaming dart. Now, on a side here, something I didn't mention earlier, which is really quite important, and the word for battle here is intimate battle. It's men. It's hand-to-hand battle, hand-to-hand combat. In other words, we're fighting the enemy from very close quarters, and we'll talk about that when we get to the offensive weapons of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But there are times when, from a distance and seemingly out of nowhere, we'll be struck with something. We'll be struck with an illness, and all of a sudden it feels like our life is threatened, and that begins to limit us. We're struck with a problem at work and we've lost our job. We're struck with my wife is serving in our church in a shepherding role at this time, and she's dealing with one woman who just had surgery to replace her hip. And after that, she's an older woman, so she's got some problems. She can't use a walker really well because she has weakness in one arm. And the last news is she developed COVID. She got COVID, and she's got bronchitis. And so she is feeling miserable, and it's like one thing after another. First of all, the recovery from the surgery, which isn't going well, and then, boom, then there's the COVID, and then, oh, man, there's the weakness in the arm, and one thing after another, after another, after another. I think this is why Paul said at the beginning of this passage, you know, to take up the armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you might be able to stand your ground. And it may be those days when all of a sudden things are coming against you. For some people, you know, there's a class going on in our church right now of people who are learning how to forgive. One woman betrayed by her husband, another woman raped while she was in high school, another business partner who cheated him out of half the business, and on and on and on. That there were these things that came out of the blue. There wasn't really any way to prepare for them. Well, Paul says, you need the shield of faith. At that time, now, the shield that the Romans had, was wood, but it was covered with leather. And so when these flaming arrows would come, the soldiers would hold up the shield and the arrows would come against it. And because the leather wasn't flammable, the flame couldn't find a place to get settled and to get started. And so Paul is saying the shield of faith can have that in those moments when the day of evil comes, when things are really bad, when things seem to be coming right and left. There's a way to put it out, and it's called the shield of faith. Now, to understand this, we really have to understand what faith is. The word faith means to have a firm persuasion. That's from the dictionary. Here's the Bible definition. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, it's from Hebrews chapter 11, and if you want a good experience of understanding how faith lives itself out in a time of crisis, you can read the rest of that chapter, because it's called the chapter of the heroes of faith. Men and women, people who are followers of Jesus Christ, who took risks, who took great actions. The parents of Moses who hide him, Abraham who decides to stake his life on this whole idea of God loving him and choosing him to establish a line from which the Messiah will come and have offspring as many as the stars in the heavens or the seashore sands. And it's this confidence that allows us to face really challenging situations. You read that chapter, and toward the end, it's these people who says, there were people who were sawn in two. There were people who failed to just experience a mere miraculous rescue, but they still conquered because of their faith. The kingdom of God continued to move forward because there were people of faith. Now, one of the people I want to share with you is John G. Payton. He was a missionary a long, long time ago among Sikh, it says, South Sea cannibals. He was in the New Hebrides and went there to establish a church. And marvelous stories about him. He, one time he went into this area that was inhabited by cannibals, right? Of course, this is a long time ago. But what faith to do that, right? And all the challenges of dealing with people who eat other people and have no knowledge of Jesus Christ and a society which is brutal and violent. And he goes there and he establishes a little mission. And the mission was starting to have some success. So the chief decided that he was going to attack John Payton, kill him and his wife. And John Payton and his wife knew they were coming, had heard that they were coming. One of the new believers had told them. And so John and his wife are in that mission, and all night they prayed. They were told they're coming tonight. And so they prayed, and 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 they heard the approach of the cannibals who were going to kill them and eat them. And they heard them, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they believed that God had sent them there. That's faith, right? Firm persuasion. They believed that the kingdom of God was going to be established in that place. In the morning, no attack came. They didn't know what happened. A year later, the chief of that tribe became a follower of Jesus Christ. And in conversation, John Payton asked him, what happened that night? We had heard that you were coming. We heard you outside the mission. What happened? And the chief said there were too many guards around. And they had seen these shining guards standing around the mission. And John said, no, it was just me and my wife. And we're going to get into that when we talk toward the end of this class on angels and the source resources that God gives us. Anyway, John Payton was trying to translate the New Testament into the language of these people that he was reaching for Jesus Christ. And he came to the word faith, and he asked, how do you describe faith? How do you, what word do you find that would describe what it means to have faith? And as he was talking, working through this, one of the new believers came and sat down and said, English translation said, oh, it feels so good to put my entire weight on this chair. Now, this is not the engine, of course. This is an example of someone trusting that chair totally, without reservation, that it will hold me. That's faith. The shield of faith. How do you take it up? Well, here's from Romans 10. It says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So the way you take up the shield of faith, to get ready for something coming, is to take up the shield of faith. And that means getting into the word, getting the word into me. That's important. One of the people who taught me how to pray, I was in ministry a long time before I learned how to pray, but I talked to her, and she said that was a chapter in her life where she felt like something was coming, and she had to be ready for it. So she was preparing the shield of faith, and so she began to learn how to pray. And as a result, she taught dozens of people in our church that skill, and me being one of them. And it's getting that word, getting into the word, getting ready with the shield of faith to believe. So I'm learning the scriptures. I'm learning what they say. And then God's word is getting into me. James 2 puts it this way. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and without daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, oh, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Faith means I'm going to stake my entire life on Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, I need to get the word of God into me. And then I need to be the channel of the word of God to others. And that's seen primarily in our deeds. Now, in my society today, you know, people who look at us Christians say several things. We're hypocrites. In other words, we don't believe the truth. I've shared this with you already. We're not interested in them. We're interested in notching a belt by getting a convert. And, you know, we're too concerned about politics and on and on and on. But then they look at somebody with deeds. The shield of faith is somebody who's ready to do whatever God calls them to do. And we take it up in a time when we say, I believe what God says. Even though whatever happens to me, I believe it. One of my best friends died of melanoma cancer. And I remember visiting him beforehand, and it was a really tough time for him and his family, of course. He had surgery, initially diagnosed, he had surgery, and it was declared after 5 years free of it, and a year later it came back. And anyway, he died. But along the way, what struck me was his faith, his absolute trust in God, that God had this in his hands too, and he was going to believe and trust God. Yeah. So take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all those fiery darts that the enemy might throw against you. Join me in prayer. Lord, we've been looking at this armor now for a while, and shield of faith is a big one because the enemy is firing at us, and that might affect us negatively in a world that says we should always be comfortable. And we say now again that we have put our entire life in your hands, and we have dedicated our lives to your service. You are our Lord, you are our Master, and help us to believe everything you have said, even in those days when the fiery darts come. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next time.